Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
It's time for some podcast greatness.
Shit. Is that true?
Yeah, you're gonna get some greatness.
You're counting on me for this?
You're gonna get some podcast average, maybe below average.
Okay, oof. There's a lot of pressure there for a minute. Yeah, I think I was gonna be able to handle that.
You know, it's fine.
Gotta be, one of us has to be realistic.
This is probably audio.
Yep, there you go. Now you're on target.
Yeah, this might be a recordings.
Yep, you're definitely hearing us talk.
We're talking live in studio.
Woohoo!
From several weeks ago, it's Max and Tim!
Hi, welcome everybody.
Hi, so I got a movie.
Do a movie.
It's better than average.
Ooh, better than average?
Better than average. It is 2002's Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Bum, bum, bum.
I watched this in January of 2020. It is not the extended version. It's 3 hours and 43 minutes. The extended version is like 4 hours and 20 minutes. Please it.
Yeah.
The genre is fantasy adventure, as I went over before, still directed by Peter Jackson. They all are. Starring this time, Sean Astin, Liv Tyler, and Orlando Bloom.
Yes.
Movie summary. While Frodo and Sam edge closer to Mordor with the help of Gollum, the divided fellowship make a stand against Sauron's ally and his hordes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep. My thoughts on this movie. Jackson does a great job of balancing the story across all these divided parties now. Because at the end of the movie, Gandalf falls, Sam and Frodo go one direction, Pippin and Merry get taken, the other three, Strider, whatever his name is, you know that guy, Aragorn.
There it is.
Yeah, Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli go one way, and it's like the whole story is completely divided up now. And I think he does a good job of not making it feel jarring while he moves between the stories. Like, there's the part where they're getting Gimli and Legolas and Aragorn are tracking Pippin and Merry, and then that ties into what happened to them. Like, everything's nice and smooth with the storytelling. Everything transitions really nicely. So there was a good plan of how in the world are we going to balance all of these different stories together. And of course, you get to the battle at Helm's Deep, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so good. Every part of it's so interesting. I think the film does tend to get bogged down at points with how much they're trying to do ambition-wise, but you get other things in this one, like you get the Theoden line of the whole little storyline there, and you get Brad Dourif in there as Grima Wormtongue, and I think he's fantastic. Again, all the casting is phenomenal in these films across the board. I think to get to these set pieces, things had to kind of move in a different way, so it was a little bit more tied down to, okay, I need to do this, I need to do this, I can only do these this way, because this is what the CG I've developed for this movie does.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, while they're astounding, I think there's just not quite as much technically interesting as there is in Fellowship.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because this is kind of like you're pivoting from what you've set up, now you got to get us to that end sequence, that middle movie. It was doomed to be maybe the weaker of all of them because of that?
Yeah. It's a tough one.
But doesn't the middle one have some of the best Gollum moments?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gollum comes into his own in this one.
Yes. There's some great stuff in this one. I think it's towards the end of this one with outside of the Helm's Deep stuff, and then the beginning of Return is where your movie gets real chonky if you were to take it in one big 12 and hour and change ridiculousness.
Right.
It's probably over 13 for all of them.
Whew.
But that's where you get to the chonky parts, and I think that's kind of the slight ding in my score, because last one, if you hadn't tuned in previously on Tapes and Scouts, I give this a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow. Good job, Max.
Now for this one, Two Towers, IMDb score is 8.7. out of 10.
Still good.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 253 of them. Still an impressively low amount of critics watching this one.
Yeah.
95%.
Okay. That's up from the last one, right?
Yes. Audience, 1,341,428. Same score, 95%.
Wow.
Yep. I gave this a 9. out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Yeah, these movies are really great. It's one amazing, giant epic.
And it is.
I mean, we'll get into more of that soon.
Yeah, I'll bore you with more of that in a minute.
Yeah, but before we do that, it's time for me to talk about a movie that is quite
average.
Okay.
It's The Kitchen.
Okay.
It's from 2019. I watched it on April 10th. It's an hour 42 is your IMDb minutes. Genre, action, crime, drama.
What?
Action, crime, drama.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Andrea Berloff.
Okay.
Starring Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and Elizabeth Moss.
I see.
IMDb movie summary. The wives of New York gangsters in Hell's Kitchen in the 1970s continue to operate their husbands' rackets after they're locked up in prison.
Interesting.
Simple enough, right?
Yeah, it's a cool premise.
And they do some things pretty good, like the mother of some of the guys that get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't having it. She's like, you're all stupid. You're all going to get killed. Don't do this. She is a total biatch.
Love it.
To them. And that character was pretty fun. This movie has a weird flow to it. And even though it has good moments, overall, we didn't need this. Although it is more of that Boston kind of mafia thing that we were talking about when we talked about Kill the Irishman.
Yeah.
So my bullet points, this is based on a DC Vertigo graphic novel by Ollie Masters and Ming Doyle. And I do really like Ollie Masters. He did a book called Snowblind that I really liked.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's right. You read that.
Yes.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
See, there you go.
Yep.
But this one, yeah. I mean, the book might be good.
Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson. Is in this, and he is the best part of this movie easily.
Okay.
He's fantastic, followed by Elizabeth Moss. They're kind of the interesting characters.
Gotcha.
And everybody else is just kind of like playing the slowest game of chess to the top.
Understood.
And it's just bleh, whatever. Okay. McCarthy and Haddish have good performances, but they're not stellar. Common shows up, which is fun.
I love Common.
It's not uncommon to love Common.
It's not unusual.
To love Common, everyone.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
I'm not going to keep that going.
No, that's pretty good, though.
The comic is more enjoyable, even though I never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Ollie. I already said that. I like Ollie Masters a bunch. So, Ollie, good on you, buddy. But,
yeah, man.
But this movie, bleh, I could do without it. It's okay. It's not. IMDb score, 5.5. Rotten Tomato critics, 24% out of 221 critics.
Whoa.
Yeah. The fact that this movie is so new and only 221 critics saw it,
right,
should speak volumes.
Yeah.
The audience, just shy of 3,000 people, gave this the best rating of 69%.
Yes.
So we're all over the place. Mm-hmm. I have noticed this weird trend of me agreeing with IMDb, because I also gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
And like I said, I always write down my scores before I look anything up.
I do too.
My wife gave this a 4.5.
Okay.
And she added in she was bored to death.
Okay, good
watching
enough.
This movie. Yeah, we had like, this was on HBO, HBO Go or whatever, and we had like, I don't know, six or seven movies, and I was like, I'll watch any of these. She's like, all right, because we don't agree on movies
right,
all the
sure.
time. I was like, any of these. And I was like, I just roll a die or something, or just pick a number or whatever. And that's what we came up, and it was easily the weakest of all the ones we could have chosen. And I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways, take us to a faraway land of enchantment and merriment.
I will. It is 2003's The Puppy Knife Room.
Puppy Knife Room coming back to stab all of you with puppy love.
It is Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Sorry, I misspoke.
I must have. That was a different movie.
Yeah. I watched this in January of 2020. It is unextended, 4 hours and 11 minutes long.
It's great.
It is a fantasy adventure film still directed by Peter Jackson, starring this time Andy Serkis, John Rhys-Davies, and Miranda Otto. So this one. Your summary, Gandalf and Aragorn lead the world of men against Sauron's army to draw his gaze from Frodo and Sam as they approach Mount Doom with the One Ring.
Mount Doom.
Mount Doom.
I mean, it says everything.
Yeah, absolutely does. My thoughts on this movie, it does such a good job of solidifying the themes that have been throughout the movies. And what really impressed me on this rewatch was how much the themes of like family, friends, it's not about, you know what I mean, the family you have, but the family you develop and what's important and the sacrifices that we have, and race doesn't matter, who you are doesn't matter. It's about the person you become and the person you stand up and act like, not the person that you're born as. The little hot, like, everybody knows the part at the end where they go to bow and Aragorn stops them and they said, no, you bow to no one. And then they all bow to those, the hobbits. And it's just like, they're little halfling stupid things. And that's what the world perceives them as, but it's not. They're the most important ones in the movie. That's great. One of the parts that got me really good this time was when Sauron's army is coming at the end and Legolas and Gimli are standing there and Gimli says, I never thought I'd die standing next to an elf. And he goes, how about you die standing next to a friend? And it's just like, damn it, this is so good. This is so good. And it just really solidifies all those themes really well. It struggles with its pace, though, in this one. I think more obviously than the others, this movie is notorious for its 400 endings. Mm-hmm. And everybody whose bladder was about to erupt doing this weird up-down dance to go to the bathroom as fast as they could, thinking the movie was going to end. But overall, the movie's so strong. It's a great wrap-up for the whole thing. I think it's the weakest of the lot, but not, again, not by much. So if you're not familiar, again, going back, 9 was the previous. 9.5 was the one before that. I already spoiled in the previous episode, The Fellowship's my favorite. That's all good stuff. This one, IMDb gives an 8.9. out of 10, the highest for them. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 273 critics, give it 93%. I had to grab my phone while Tim was talking and he was looking at me. The reason I had to grab my phone is because I did not believe the number of people I wrote or the number of people that reviewed this for the audience score.
I always look at you. I'm big on eye contact.
I think I screwed up the number. I think it should be 3 or 4 million. It's 34 million people that reviewed this film.
That's
34,679,773 gave this an 86%.
Does that make it like the most definitive score?
I would say
that many people.
That it's pretty darn hard to argue with 34 million people who went on and reviewed a movie.
I'll give it a go.
So I'm not going to argue, and I give it an 8.5 out of 10. So they progress, they step down by a 0.5 every movie for me.
Yeah, but when you start that high, does it really matter?
No.
And it is meant to be viewed as a whole.
Yeah.
Once you're done.
And you ready for my contentious statement of the podcast?
Oh, I love
ready?
It. Do it.
You
yeah.
ready?
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings as a trilogy is superior to the original Star Wars as a trilogy.
Ooh.
I will say that I think Fellowship is a touch better than New Hope. I will say that I think that Two Towers is weaker than Empire. But Return of the King slaughters Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi is always the one that you are going to have people argue.
Yes, it is weak sauce, in my opinion. Therefore, I think that Lord of the Rings, even at its bajillion hour watch time, gets the nod for me over the Star Wars.
I mean, I like them both pretty similar, so you're not going to get any arguments out of me.
So if you don't like it, fight me.
Fight Max. If you want to step into the ring with Max, you let me know at capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com. Subject, I'm a fight Max.
And you're going to lose because Tim's taking all my blood. You can't hit me. I don't exist. I'm a ghost.
He doesn't feel shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a ghost person.
And he's got a mean left hook. No one's ready for the left.
Nope. And it's literally a hook. Like, I'm going to hook you and hang you on something. It's not a punch or something.
Yeah.
I'm coming at you with, like, sharp objects from this room.
Just the sharpest. It might be a pointed knife dog. You don't know.
You don't.
Speaking of things that are not very realistic and terrible, this movie, I need to clarify, I did not choose to watch this movie.
Understood.
I knew by reading the title what I was going to get, and my wife said, that's so dumb, can't be real. We need to watch. And I go, it's going to be a trauma movie. It's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't do this.
Yep.
We watched 2013's The Thingy.
Okay.
Confessions of a Teenage Placenta.
Yep. Okay. This is a trauma movie.
It's a trauma movie.
Yep.
We watched this on the 12th of April. I didn't write down the time, and I'm okay with that. The genre? Comedy? Drama? Horror? All right.
Certainly seems horrifying based on the way you're reading it.
It's not good. Directed by Joel Robbins? It's spelled a funny way, but I think it's Robbins. And Yves Sondermeyer. Starring Pascal Mettens, Carl Vigerhoetz, and Celine. Man, I didn't give two shits when I wrote this down. It is very obvious. And Celine Verbeck.
Sorry, everybody. Do a better job next time.
Yeah, make me give a shit.
Please.
Please. It's my wife's fault. IMDb movie summary. The heartbreaking story of a living placenta that is raised as a human, Christian, a soldier.
I see.
Swear to God. I swear to God.
Did you write that summary?
No.
That's impressive.
Yes, I know. So, my first bullet point, fuck, why? See?
It was written out exactly the way I hoped it would be.
The original title of this movie was The Miracle of Life.
Oh, wow.
So this is clearly a joke movie.
Yes.
It's not to be taken serious. What happens is this woman gives birth. They end up throwing away. You know how you like keep the placenta or whatever and like a piece or whatever?
Sure.
They keep the baby and they raise the placenta. They do it backwards.
Okay, so they chuck the baby, keep the bathwater?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. God.
Okay.
The mother, I'm pretty sure was just a dude.
Okay.
And then he, I don't think that was a woman. And they were just working out at the gym, and she gave birth. She was working so hard.
Okay, sure.
Now, a good point. The mother character is hilarious at times.
Okay.
Her gimmick is she's got like a normal arm and then a jacked arm.
Okay.
And she is working out this one arm for competition.
I like that.
And they do this the whole movie. The one arm is just jacked. And if she's in a scene, she's probably curling something.
Nice.
She could be fixing dinner and she's curling.
I like that they give her some business all the time. That's cool.
Yeah. The mother character, which I think is a dude playing her.
Sure.
Is amazing. And like you go into like steroid use and you talk about things like that with competing. Oh my God. It's too funny.
She's nice.
I could have probably done both arms, but I just figured I could get so much farther if I just focused on the one.
That's funny. I like that.
But you notice that has nothing to do with the placenta.
No.
So once we get to the placenta, it's pretty friggin' bad.
Uh-huh.
It's a mess. The character's awful to look at.
Sure.
I didn't want to look at it.
Yep.
This movie is dumb. I hated it. I was mad at my wife for picking it. I'm still a little mad at you, dear. Oh yeah, my last bullet point. Nobody needs this. Your curiosity of this movie leaves you fast.
Okay.
IMDb gave this a 5.2.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, critic and audience, no score.
Yep, didn't bother.
I gave this a 2.5.
Okay.
My wife, you want to guess my wife's score?
Ooh, she wanted to watch this,
she
right?
wanted this.
And you were mad about it, so I'm wondering if there's a spite number here that's higher than yours. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say she gave it a 1.5.
No, there's a spite number.
Shit.
And that number is 5.0.
Wow.
She said, I got a kick out of it, and I picked it.
Okay, yep. Damn it. I was so close to getting that.
Oh, this movie is bad. Please don't. If it looks and smells like a trauma movie and you're not in that mood, don't do it.
Don't. Nope.
Never watch a trauma unless you actually feel like watching a trauma. It's a real thing.
Feel like or are wasted.
Yeah.
That's it.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Leave now.
Leave.